do our worship and song, the sacrifice of praise. We bring our offerings and we say, God, you're the one we trust in. And as we submit ourselves to the Word, and we ask the Spirit to come, we make much of Jesus. And I hope that you feel that privilege. You know, every time we can come together as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And why did Christ's apostles and the early church begin calling Sunday the Lord's Day anyway? What was the basis for Sabbath day fulfillment and for a new focus on the first day of the week for corporate worship as God's people? What makes Sunday, in a sense, in a very real sense, the best day? Our Sunday, friends, biblically speaking, is the starting day of the week. And I know there's a sense in which you don't feel that, and the unbelieving world doesn't feel that, because it's Monday morning, right? And you feel those, oh, it's Monday morning, start of the week. But biblically speaking, Sunday is the starting day of the week because Sunday is uniquely the Lord's Day. Yeah, every day is the Lord's Day, but the first day is the weekly anniversary. It's the weekly remembrance. It's the weekly celebration of our Lord's resurrection. And according to his word in the book of Hebrews, our risen Lord wants us to not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We could say that the assembling is actually our reason to forsake everything else.
Amen.
Our Father wants us to live out loud our reliance on Christ together. We say Christianity is not meant to be a solo sport. And we gather together to celebrate our union in Christ. This is the truth of the Lord's table. Jesus is our true Messiah. He's the ruler and the rescuer that we all need. And is Jesus proving faithful to his promise? Yes, he is. Jesus never fails. He does all things well. He's always faithful.
Amen.
Semper Fi for Jesus, right? Amen. Always faithful. That's the thing, though, about growing relationships, is that they require a personal commitment. We love because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. So should we define committed relationship as simply, you know, occupying the same space and place? I hope you would say, no, Scott, we shouldn't. Commitment requires more than just the physical proximity. Case in point, there's far too many marriages hanging by that shredded string. Spouses acting like roommates instead of soulmates. Is that God's heart for his gift of the marriage covenant? Not at all. And why is that? Ultimately, it's because marriage is meant to picture the covenantal love between Jesus, Messiah, and his bride. What does Jesus want for his bride? He wants all of us. Ephesians 5 says in verse 25 to 27, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. What does Jesus think when, with cold hearts, we opt for the easy peasy, comfortable, casual life on our terms over loving one another commitment for the sake of His name. The professing church, I believe especially the church in our culture, is filled with too many selfish consumers instead of Jesus communers, committed as ministry contributors. We don't need selfish consumers. We need Jesus communers, committed as ministry contributors. So if your idea of church is just a place that you show up to on Sunday, take in the show, or not, because I got other things I want to do, well, you're missing Messiah's heart for His bride. If you see church as an attendant box only, you should question the state of your soul and your relationship with Jesus. Yes, church is not a place. The church is the blood-bought people of God.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes how the church is the people indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we're like the living Legos in God's construction project. And God has something so much better for us, better than anything we can imagine, anything that has entered into the heart of mankind. He wants us to see church His way, with His heart progressively shaping our heart. You know what? All over the world, right now in this very second, isn't this amazing? All over the world, redeeming love is saving sinners into Christ's flock, the universal church. And God's redeeming love graciously is calling us into the visible manifestation of His people right here, in this part of the planet. He calls us into a church relationship defined by visibly grateful and passionate commitment. The banner of Christ waves over the community of Christ, making us the representatives of Christ, His kingdom, to this world. We have a citizenship, not just here below. It's not just our earthly passport. We have a citizenship in heaven. We're already seated in that citizenship. And yet, belonging as spiritual citizens of Christ's church, we are the visibility. We are the vibrancy of a local church fellowship. And that word fellowship just means partnership. You think of two fellows in the same ship. It's a partnership, and it's a much bigger deal than we realize. And so today, as we consider our annual ministry report, and we come in worship around the table, I want to emphasize just this one beautiful biblical idea. Messiah's heart for His church must shape our heart toward Messiah and His church. We live in perplexing times, don't we? I was listening to some news just this week. Studies were done, surveys, you know, for whatever they're worth. But the heart of it seemed to ring true to me that monogamous relationship is now used to just describe your current partner. Instead of a till death do you part commitment, modern monogamy is just a for the moment kind of relationship, kind of commitment, you know. I should say arrangement, not commitment. And we say, well, yeah, that's we know that. The world will be the world. And the world values casual relationships. Have fun. Do what you want. Keep the commitment low. It doesn't have to be long term. Just hook up and hang out, you know. Let's keep it casual. But God's Word challenges our casual, convenient for me attitudes. Jesus wants something better for our family and our church family. As we come together again today, I sure pray it's not just a ho-hum, this is what we do. if we feel like it on Sunday morning. How do you see the people who are your church family? There's so many people who profess to be Christ followers who at the same time say they don't really want much to do with Christ Church. Oh, I love Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I love Jesus. I've heard it. But the church? No, that's a mess I don't need. How do you think Jesus feels about that? If you're a married dude, and someone says to you, hey man, let's hang out, but they're rude to your wife? No way, bro. Consequences. The point is, loving Jesus demands loving Jesus' people, his bride. It's not optional. Unbelievers think church relationship is just the option. We hear it all the time. Oh, if you need a crutch, weak-minded people, you know, do your thing. Unbelievers think there's a lot more important things to pursue on Sunday, just like every other day. But believers think differently. It's not optional. Did you know that identifying yourself with a local fellowship of Christ followers in a visible church partnership, it's not like joining a club where membership is optional, you know, one option among many. I don't like Costco, I'm going with Sam's Club or, you know, whatever. It's not like that for Christ's bride. Sometimes we get confused about visible church membership because we substitute that more familiar idea of club membership. When you join a club, you expect to be treated as a customer. You're a consumer. You expect excellent customer service. It's about bang for your buck. We're all about that right now, right? We got to stretch those dollars. You pay the price of club membership. You expect to get your way. But the word of Christ is pleading. Don't approach your local church family with a consumer mindset. What can this church family do for me? Well, if I'm actually going to make the effort to get up on Sunday morning, I want to make sure it's the most appealing product for my investment. I want all the perks, and I'm not going to put up with the problems. That's not it. We often call our gatherings or the assembly, you know, we often say this is our church service. And it takes a lot of hands, a lot of hearts joining together to minister. We celebrate that today. All of your ministry input, because we are Faith Bible Church. It's not an on-the-stage kind of production. It's all of us together. But understand that the service, it's service to God. The church's service is service to God. We're saved to serve God. Saved by God alone to serve God alone. It's about the heart of worship that the Father is seeking. It's about serving one another in His name, doing what Jesus wants, taking our cues from His word under His care and authority. After all, the church, the true church, isn't a human invention. It's the product of divine redemption. It's not just another organization. We are an organism. We're a living body. And with all of Christ's true church all around the planet, the ministry of Faith Bible Church is about representing Jesus as Jesus-loving people in the way that God is uniquely equipping us. We don't have all of the bells and whistles of XYZ Church. And you can run all kinds of programs that are very helpful. I'm not denigrating any of those helpful programs. But the purpose has got to be loving Jesus. Loving people for Jesus. We often think we know. Well, we know what we need. But our Maker really knows what we need. What do you need? You need your sins forgiven. in his redeeming love. You need the salvation only Jesus provides, Acts 4:12. You need the assurance of eternal life provided in the gospel. You need to believe. Every time we come together, we don't want it to go unsaid that the most important thing is that you believe Jesus. Do you believe? If you are a believer, you need to live in a visible gospel-centered community with other believers. You need to be loved by a church family that you also love and serve, because this is how we grow in the way that Jesus wants. He makes us new creations. We often say, no shame for the past. Praise God, right? No shame for the past, but no shame for the future. Because amazing grace continually is formatting us and reformatting us, renewing us to be more Christ-like. And love is costly. Every time we come together, we lift up the word. Every time we come around the table, we're reminded of the cost. We're reminded that our sin brings a lot of brokenness. And we have a great way of reminding each other how messy relationships can be. But let's be the aroma of grace. We often say those looking for a perfect church, well, you're not going to find it here. And if you want to join the perfect church, don't, because you'll ruin it. The issue is, how does Messiah's heart for his bride shape our heart? I love what Charles Spurgeon once so brilliantly affirmed, that the church is the dearest place on earth. And by that, again, he didn't mean a place. He meant a people. Belonging to the community of Christ's church is a treasured gift of grace, and the table reminds us of this great privilege. We have communion in Christ that no one can take from us. If you love Jesus, then loving Jesus' people will follow, not optional. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. You know, maybe the protest in your heart, if you're honest, is, you know, church, that's where I've been hurt the most in my life. And I get that. I could say the same. And we can all expect better. Yet whenever you put sinful people together under the same roof, there's going to be some sinful family friction. And yeah, others have let you down. But are you going to be a Christ follower? That word really means a pursuer, right? Are you in pursuit? Are you moving forward in the love of Christ? Or are you rationalizing away sacrificial love? I'm so glad that where you're headed, where we're all headed, is more important than where we've been. And a commitment to what Jesus wants means we have to address problems biblically, so that, like Messiah wants for us, our heart is shaped by his heart for his bride. You know, in my mind's eye, I can see the door at the back of the church auditorium open wide. I can remember trembling with joy, the crowd rising in unison, seeing the most beautiful woman in the whole world in this lovely white gown, so just kind of like floating down the aisle. And yeah, I was a little woozy, and I could kind of feel the heat. We had all these candelabras like sticking up, you know, on the center aisle. And so as I'm like looking down the aisle, I'm just looking through all of that heat coming up. I was like, is that me? Are my knees about to go out? You know, is that? I remember that, you know, and my heart just dancing with joy. And then I look into Kelly's angel eyes, and I know that my life is never going to be the same. And I've waited so long for this day. That was June 8, 1996. over 27 years of marriage and ministry. And it's been a lot of hard work. There's been a lot of distress. A lot of the pressures of life. You know what I'm talking about. But there's been so many blessings. As you look back and you see God's work in family. And I'm so thankful, not only for your support as my church family, but even more importantly, because of Kelly's hard work and support, it allows us to be here ministering here. And things are not always rosy living with this guy. But she is my beloved. And Jesus views the church like a bridegroom who perfectly cherishes his bride. Do you believe if you're trusting Jesus as your only Redeemer, he identifies you this way? He has identified you as the one who lives in union with him, his eternal bride. The scriptures tell us we need an ever freshening appreciation for our union in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles or the unbelievers do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." But that's not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? Being the bride of Christ makes a radical difference in our life. Next week, we're going to begin to look at our church family relationships through the biblical optics of 2 Timothy. But the Apostle Paul writes what's written to constantly impress on us our identity. Remembering our identity is everything. And Paul affirms the way that marriage love is meant to paint a portrait of our spiritual relationship with Jesus. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this mystery is profound. What does the apostle say? I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. How much does Christ love the church? There's no greater love. He sacrificially laid down his life to save us from sin's curse, to this glorious joy of knowing him, being known by him. It's the supreme love story. Jesus is faithfully and continually cherishing and nourishing the church as his own body. He's perfectly committed to the exclusive oneness with his bride. And he is extending his life to us always and forever. God Almighty created earthly temporary human marriage to reveal for us the greater beauty of permanent eternal union in Christ our Lord. So every love song we sing, it's really an echo of God's great loving heart singing over his people with perfect contentment, with perfect covenant commitment. He knows what he's about. He's going to do everything he promised. All of the romance, sexual intimacy, gracious giving and forgiving in a committed marriage is meant to give a reflection, however imperfect, of the perfectly passionate commitment Christ has for everyone he died to save. Oh, we need to be shaped by Messiah's heart for his church, to be the visibly loving Faith Bible Church that he wants us to be. We've got to look to Jesus and see his bigger picture. Instead of murmuring about the things that we don't like, instead of casual indifference and our consumer expectations, the Word is pleading, open your heart to Messiah's heart for his bride. See that his banner over us is a blood-soaked banner of sacrificial love. See that we are his hands and his feet and his voice. And yeah, while Faith Bible Church is just one branch office of thousands and thousands that make up the global church, right here and now, we must prayerfully and gratefully work out what Jesus says it means to represent him in one another community. And so as we enter this next season of ministry, because our fiscal year starts in September, we say yes. Faith Bible Church, by God's grace, still exists to influence people to worship God in spirit-led community as disciple-making disciples of Jesus Christ. Because we have the best news ever. We have the promise of God Almighty, I will be your God and you will be my people. Church, for the love of God, love the church that God loves. Nothing can separate us from Christ's love, not even death. And in spite of all of our brokenness and sinful failures, he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is making his bride beautifully radiant. The apostle exclaims joyfully in Ephesians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Hallelujah. Well, Faith Bible Church, we don't know You know, we make our plans, but the Lord is sovereign, right? So we don't know exactly how Jesus is going to work in our next steps. But we know and we rejoice because we know what he's already done for us and how he's going to love us forever and that the best is yet to come. And today, if you're ready to make a visible commitment, first of all, believe in Christ, we want to talk to you. We want to encourage you. If you're ready to make a visible commitment to this gospel-shaped community, well, the elders want to encourage you in that. We want to shepherd this family through the next year of ministry in the way that Jesus wants. Believe. Baptizing, belonging visibly, and faithfully in love. And let me just say, because it's not optional, if you don't give a rip for what the Word says about loving commitment in a locally visible, Bible-believing church family, the Lord Jesus says, you're missing his heart for his bride, and you're kind of walking around with an out-of-order sign around your neck. Because we're made for community. The Apostle Peter uses the image of living stones, right? What good is a building brick, even if we're talking about Legos? What good is it if it's not used in the building? We've all experienced those Legos from our kids scattered across the floor in the middle of the night. What good is that? And what good is a brick that's not used in the building? If you come over to my house, you'll see that you'll see a lot of things that Scott should be doing, but you'll see that there's a stack of bricks on the side of my house, but they're not part of my house. There's just a bunch of bricks that are stacked up there, and they're really good for nothing bricks. I use them for, you know, propping up stuff, but it's not really their intention. Do you see, I'm praying that we will be useful for building up in love. That's our purpose. Proving useful in the Master's hands. Because we can't take lightly what Jesus takes so seriously without consequence. Paul says to the Ephesian church leaders in Acts 20, pay attention. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Our Lord Jesus didn't open for us the selfish way of consumer. His grace calls us to live as communers committed to ministry contribution. And that's the heart of our Messiah that must shape us. Before we celebrate around the Lord's table, we're going to continue in worship in our annual meeting. And Mike Adams has a story to tell about Christ's amazing provision for our ministry through your sacrificial offerings. And then we're going to hear from Leah Kuko and Catherine Montefusco, who are our faith kids leaders, our children's ministry leaders, about how God is blessing in our ministry, our growing ministry to children. And then Matthew is going to come and wrap up our annual ministry meeting with a picture of how you can pray and use your gifts for Christ in the coming year. And then we will sing and come around the table and worship together. And so let's think on these things, brothers and sisters, and be shaped by Messiah's heart for his church as Mike comes.
And thank you, Scott, for your faithful ministry. I see that little glip at the bottom of the slide. What's it say? 33 years. Vince and Becky. Brittany, you were like, you were there. And I think myself and my wife were there. I don't see Phil, because you were doing drywall. Yeah, so Phil was there. I don't see, because, I mean, thank you for your faithfulness for 33 years. And I know Scott gave me a couple things. We passed out some stuff on the flyers, and I saw some people looking at it. Don't concentrate on the numbers. I mean, sometimes we get so overwhelmed with the numbers. I'm thinking about that when those kings of Israel looked out and saw the army of 200,000 Assyrians outside the walls of the city. And they said, what are we to do? And God says, I got this handled. Don't look at the numbers. If you look at the numbers, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to look at the numbers and forget me. And we had our own experience this year with Faith Bible Church. We'll pop the first slide up. Because it's really a story of God's amazing love and God's amazing position. I'm going to say last year, we did not meet our budget last year. And yet I'm standing up here rejoicing that we did not meet our budget. And you'll say, well, what happened? Well, so the next thing is we set our budget last year at $151,252. Now, we don't just grab this number out of the air. It's historically, it's based upon our giving patterns, our trends of our giving patterns, based upon some future projections and how that holds true. It's based upon very little of our church budget is anything that we can control. Like 95% of our costs are fixed between salaries and utilities and insurance costs. So there's, you know, we do a good job at guessing our way through, but really, we're not your folk. We don't have a job. We depend upon you for your generosity to control the budget. And we depend primarily on God because the leadership team has no control over that. But we were very confident because things were going well. Our church was doing well. So we set that as a realistic goal. Next bullet point. 2 weeks into our fiscal budget, three of the giving families left. Not for any reason in particular. They just left, decided to fellowship somewhere else. That's the hole that it put into our budget. $45,000. First reaction was like, what are we going to do? And really, when we say, what are we going to do, it's God and myself. So we're going to pray. Because we can't concentrate on numbers. Folks, these aren't just bricks and mortars. If Faith Bible Church closed for you guys, and okay, there's other churches you can find. It's people's lives here. We want to minister into your life so you can minister to others for God. It's Scott and Kelly's in their lives. We want to make our commitments. It's important. So we immediately got on our knees and said, hey, let's pray about this. Let's pray about this. The next year. So our expenses we ended up last year, and you have that in your things, was $127,134, and to no fault of our own, one of our missionaries decided to pull out, and we were able to reduce our missionary support. To no fault of our own, our music minister was able to have a better chance to perform and to use his gift that God's given him, and he left, and it saved some money into the music side. We backed out some of the projects that we were going to do. But that's what our operating expenses were. And folks, we do have savings, but we want to be fiscally responsible. We want our offerings to match our expenses on a year. And look at what we took in. $127,746, which is the difference of, the next slide, $611. If you can't praise God for that, then I don't know what's wrong with you. I really don't. Yeah, how are you going to applaud for that? It's an amazing fact that the first three quarters were kind of rough. And we put it in the bulletin, and people would come and say, what's up with the offerings? And we'd say, well, you know, continue to pray, but that's what the monthly numbers are. But I tell you what, for Scott and myself and for Matthew, this last quarter has been exciting. A number of families have joined with us. I love talking to people about, I want to be a member where there's something happening there. I want to use my gifts and my talents. And obviously they're also bringing some of their financial commitments too. And then like last week when people said, you know, I believe in this place so much, I want to put my name on the dotted line. So God's working here. No, we didn't meet our budget. God did. God did for last year. And hallelujah for right. Because we can't control that. It's only you. You provide the budget for Faith Bible Church. So this year we decided to, again, based upon historical data, we decided to put the new bullet. This is where our offerings broke down last year. We had $125,000 from just offerings. We get some interest in some of our accounts. We had an insurance claim. We lost some heating and cooling panels up on the top. We got some money back from our insurance for that. So we paid a $1,000 deductible. Kroger. If you shop at Kroger, you can do your Kroger rewards to Faith Bible Church. And I guess Amazon Smile, if you're part of Amazon Smile, you can do that also. So those all add to the income. That's how we got our total. The next slide will show us what we're planning to do for next year's budget. We set a budget for $138,000. And in your whole, handouts, you have last year's budget versus what we spent in each category. And then you have this budget broke down this year. And it's an increase from last year's income of a little over $11,000. We're going to be looking at about $11,520 a month in giving. But right now, we have $145,000 in our reserves accounts. It's not wise to spend all the money you have. I wish you could tell that to the federal government. But we were there, I tell you what, we were at a stage one time in our fiscal history church where we were depositing the checks in the office to meet Scott's payroll. I don't ever think that's a wise fiscal determination to be as a church. But that's where we were at. And it teaches you a lot about faith in God and His provision. Our mortgage, we only owe $200,000 on this building. But we got it with our credit union, so it's not a commercial loan. It doesn't balloon. We got about 6 more years to pay off, and then it's ours. And it's set at a 4% rate, and that's never going to change until we pay it off. And there's no prepayment penalty. So if you happen to have a couple hundred thousand in your pocket and you want to prepay our mortgage for us, we probably wouldn't pay it off, to tell you the truth, because there's some other ministries that we would do. But I'm just saying, it's not that bad. It's something we can survive. We're not upside down. We still partner with Betsy Wambach through Send International, and we had still partnering with an increase in Scott. And, oh, I forgot to tell you, it was the largest pastoral increase that we did last year for Scott between the HRAs and the salary and the other compensation pack. So last year's budget was the largest thing, so 2 weeks into that, we're like, well, what are we going to do? And we were able to honor most of that commitment we made to Scott last year. So through your help, it was an amazing year. We have some things coming up on the current year that we're going to do. The next slide. We want to invest in some sound and media equipment, and we're in the process of compiling some bids for that. Now, that's coming from a reserve account. I want to make that clear. We have an operating account, so we really don't skew numbers. We know we're going to take out of savings for that amount. So we want the givings to reflect what we're spending out in our expenses, but we've already set aside. If it's more, it's more. If it's less, it's less, but we've already done that. And we're in the process of trying to get some bids for a parking lot ceiling and striping. It's amazing how busy people are. We're doing some HVAC maintenance, carpet cleaning. Oh, by the way, if you're not busy after this meeting today, help us please put the chairs up because Monday they're going to clean the carpets for us. First time since we've had them installed. I mean, we get them vacuumed, but they're actually going to get cleaned, so we just need to get the chairs up on the thing for Monday. We're going to be updating the classrooms and the office, and it's really want to be faithful stewards of God's thing. Are the enders here? There's art over there. You know, there's stuff that happens here that people don't see. Did anybody notice a bird's nest not hanging on the entrance when you walk in? That was like 3 days worth of work, and Art was involved in that. And that was like a few $100 to take care of that because we had to pull it all down, pull out all the lighting, chase away the birds, and put it all up new. I think the space station can see the new lighting in the kitchen. But we had to do it. I mean, there's just some things you have to do. And fortunately, part of our budget is we set aside $2,000 every year, or $2,400 every year, $200 a month for building maintenance for projects like that. So when it comes with something's broke and needs to be serviced, it's not like we're scrambling. How do you rob Peter to pay Paul? And right now we have about $7,800 in that account for some of those things. So the carpet cleaning will come out of that account. The lights for the kitchen will come out of that account. So that's how we do that. So we're gonna continue that in the budget, but those big tickets are coming out of that sub-account. And he will be faithful stewards for God's money because God is a faithful steward. And I asked Scott beforehand, there's some Roman coins here up on the platform, and I'm going to put them outside. When we get to Israel, I am so struck by the story of the widow's mite. If you want to know what's important, look at what struck Jesus as important to Jesus. Like, out of the blue, when you read about that story, he's on top of the Temple Mount. His disciples are all there. The crowds are giving him their possessions. And that one lady drops that tiny little widow with mite into the offering. And you probably couldn't hear it, and she probably did it because she didn't think it was much. It really wasn't monetarily much at all. But that got the Savior's attention. And I'm sure he said, look, and there were people probably that dumped hordes of money. Because that was a thing. If you dumped it in and you made noise with dumping your coins in, you got attention. We're no different today. And the disciples were looking to see what had just happened. So look, she gave everything she had out of her needs. And it's not a matter, folks, I'm not telling you it's a percentage. I'm not going to tell you it's a formula. It's a matter of your heart. It's a matter of living a generous life. God's given us to it all anyways. And we have generous people here at Faith. Three families, think about that. Three families, $45,000. Now, sometimes that's bad because then they think they can control the church and the amount that they give. And we've been in that situation before. And no, God controls this church, not your dollars. God controls the elder team, and the Bible controls the elder team, not your dollars. Because we want to be faithful stewards of that. But man, there are lessons to be learned from the things that the Lord takes notice of. There's also a denarius in there, a day's wages. From 63 BC. Yeah, stuff still hangs around. We don't have much history in this country. A couple hundred years, 400 or 500 years. We're talking about holding something that's been around for 2,000 years. God's been faithful for a lot longer. He's been faithful since the Garden of Eden. I mean, he's going to be faithful till the company comes back. You can't put a time on God's faithfulness. And if you're struggling even now, you say, Mike, but I'm struggling. You know, I had cutbacks. Inflation has been terrible this year. Trust me, brothers and sisters, I get you. I've been there. But about 14 years ago when God had me in a coma at the hospital and he had me wrestling with me for 12 days, I realized that God is God and I'm not. And God said, Mike, I control your life. You don't. And you do what I tell you to do. Or you're going to come home. And thank God he left me around. And I still don't know why, but I know that God is God and Mike is not. And I know that I can't outgive God. I know that I have to look to be generous. And that's a hard thing to learn. It was hard. I didn't get to learn generosity until I was 40 because I was thinking it's mine and I don't want to give it away. It's not yours. Storehouses of earth are going to be filled. And there's going to be rooms in heaven empty because people got it reversed. We just want you to share what you have with others. And I am excited that we've grown to the stage where I have to start working in the nursery. We'll be doing some painting in the nursery. Because for a while there, we didn't have a need for a nursery. So now, don't make fun of our slides because our slides were not really well done. When you see the slides that Catherine and Lee are going to present for you on their visual slideshow, I mean, they really put PowerPoint to the test on that. So, Leah, we thank you and Catherine for the work that you've been doing with the ladies and the children's ministry. So we have some updates for the parents here that are listening for that, and I'd like to introduce you as you share that really valued component for our ministry. So I don't know who I hand the microphone off to. Catherine, are you both coming up? Or? Okay.
I can take no credit for these slides. This is all Catherine. In fact, I was trying to figure out in how we could explain in words what our roles are. And the first thing that came to mind was Catherine is the creative genius and the child development expert. Yeah. And I'm really just the list maker and the email nag. So it comes down to that. Thanks, Gavin. So as Mike said, we've grown. In 2018, when my family started coming here, there were three children. That's it. There were three. And we had some very, very faithful nursery workers. But that was about it. And as of right now, we have 22 minors or children under the age of 18. So growth is definitely happening. Let's see. Can you click over to the next slide? Yep. Just hit like the arrow. Well, I'm going to start talking, and then it'll all catch up, I think. So this spring, the leadership team approved the purchase for some new curriculum for the elementary students. And so far, we've heard really great things. And then in the meantime, Catherine and I we kind of created a curriculum of sorts for the preschoolers. And so far, that's going well. That's also going well. That was last week. You guys experienced them sharing their big truth and a song that accompanied that. All right. And I guess I did miss. We really just want to be a part, Catherine and I and the church, of a ministry that really supports the parents raising children to love and serve the Lord. So that's what we see as our goal in everything that we do.
Yeah, so it's been a huge blessing to watch the growth that's happened over the past 2 years. And we teach the kids, but everyone who teaches them knows we learn just as much, if not more, from them, too. And we're just really appreciative of, we've got a great group of kids here. Like, the kids themselves are just amazing. But three things that, Lee and I want you to know is a little bit about the curriculum that we're implementing. A little bit about the structure and guidelines we're working on to make things easier and more effective for the kids and teachers, and then some communication methods. So, yeah. Here you go, Leah.
Yeah, so that was kind of it. We have the new curriculum. We are using it. And so parents, you should be receiving from the preschool class and the elementary class kind of a sheet that you can take home. And this is going to just help you reiterate whatever they've been learning in their lesson. We want to encourage you guys to continue speaking with them about all the things that they're learning on Sundays here.
So we're working on some more structure and guidelines, again, to make things more effective. So that includes the rotating schedules, making sure that we have people who are working in the ministry can also be listening to the sermon a few times a month, behavior guidelines, and then working on improving our communication between leadership, volunteers, and parents. And it's important to know one of the biggest transitions we've gone through this year is going from just the nursery and the older kids to having three sections with developmentally appropriate Bible lessons. We've got the nursery, 0 to 2, the faith tots, the 3 to 5 year olds, and the faith kids, the 6 to 11 year olds. Obviously, the numbers will change from week to week, but in general, there's about 5 regular kiddos in each of these groups, so they're pretty evenly spread.
As far as communication, there's multiple things that we need to be communicating to everyone on a regular basis. This includes events that we are having, like this summer, our park meetups, but this also includes the needs we have as a church. So we're really, really working on building these systems so that we can be more effective and so that you guys can all know what's going on a regular basis. So the actual things, I guess. Any church member can serve within the ministries. There is a process of paperwork that has to be done, but you can see myself and Catherine. We will probably point you, though, to Pastor Scott and the elders. The next thing that you may have noticed is that we did not say anything about middle school and high schoolers, but we do have those kids. And so we're currently working and really just praying and trusting in God's timing. We do have some sheets that were purchased that can serve you guys during, really anyone, but during the main service to help take notes. So if you would like those, please reach out to one of us. If you are a member and a parent, we ask that you please really consider serving in the ministry. Children's ministry is family ministry, and the best way to serve the families is that, you know, we're all a part of it, and everyone knows what's going on. So the behavior guidelines, this is something we're working on, and this definitely isn't my area of expertise, and we're trying to handle it with a lot of prayer. But we do need to just make sure we're prioritizing the safety and the well-being of all the children and the workers. So as we continue to build this system, we will be handing these documents out to parents, and then we will also have physical copies here. The short of it is we're training the volunteers to know how to first step in and help a child modify their behavior. Secondly, if for some reason your kiddo comes to you in service, if you could just have them stay with you so that the issue can be resolved at a later time. And then if for whatever reason, and we highly doubt this will happen, that becomes a pattern, we'll go ahead and we'll just talk with the parents, the leadership will talk with the parents to make sure that the child is knowing how to grow so that they can continue to be in the class that they're developmentally set for.
So the biggest thing that we could use from you going forward is prayer. You know, prayer is not just hoping or wishing for something to go well or get better, but it's talking to the only one that can make that happen, which is God. And even if you're not on the schedule, you're still a part of this ministry as someone attending Faith Bible Church. So some specific things to pray for: God's grace and wisdom to be poured out on this ministry, which I've already personally seen so much of, and I'm very thankful for all of your prayers so far. Pray for the volunteers working with the kids. It's, you know, it's a fun ministry, but it's also hard work. So pray for them. Pray for the parents, many of whom are involved also in this ministry. You know, Sunday, easy like Sunday morning is not a song for church people, right? Like my dad would always say, it can be difficult, especially for parents, to mobilize the family and get them to church on Sunday morning. So anytime a family's able to do that, we want to be here to support them however we can. And then ongoing needs, just working on, we've had a lot of help and donations with supplies for the kids, time, all those things. And then lastly, pray for the children, that they continue to learn and that God uses this opportunity to mold their hearts for him.
Thank you guys so much. And I do just want to mention, in terms of like application, we have volunteer positions that are quarterly, and then we have things that need to be done every single week that exist before or after the service. So there really is a lot of room. If you feel at all a stirring in your heart that you want to be a part, please reach out. There is a place for you, and we would love to have your talents and gifts.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Catherine. You know, we really, I mean, many of you can attest, there was for the longest time, there were no children here. And then I remember over the span of, what was it, 2 or 3 years maybe, it's just little feet running everywhere, running into people. It's just trying to keep up with it. And these two ladies have really, you know, hit the pavement, put their hands to the stone, and have made something. But as much wonderful work that they do here, it has to be reinforced at home. And, you know, it's talking to some of the kids, you know, with Gideon, with Jay, Johnny, with any of the children, and just hearing, you know, what the Lord's doing in their lives, you know, how he's revealing himself to them, how they're learning the scriptures, how they're learning how much Jesus loves them and what their plan, God's plan is for their life and going forward. It's just, it's a wonderful thing because, you know, we all want to complain, oh, this generation, that, this generation, this. Well, what are you doing about it? How are you influencing into the next generation? How are you influencing the children who are directly in front of you? And to that end, we have some ministry opportunities here at Faith Bible Church that, I don't know about you, but it's nice to talk these big nebulous terms. If we're not getting nitty-gritty, you know, like, I don't really know what you want. So specifically, we want to talk about supporting faith kids, tots, in the faith nursery. I'm going to get into that a little bit. Catherine and Leah did a great job of explaining what's going on. If there's more specific questions or some unclarity that wasn't explained, feel free to go back up to them. They love talking about it. We want to talk about developing a ministry for our older students. Not that we want to leave anyone out. Sure, you know, the men meet on Saturdays. The women have their Thursday meetings. And we don't want anyone to be left behind or any ministry opportunities. So that's something we're going to be discussing in the upcoming months. If there's ideas, something you've seen before, please bring it up to the elder team. We'd like to talk about it. We'd like to at least, you know, have some ideas and opportunities. We've done, you know, there's lots of different ways to do church, but we want to make sure everyone's ministered to the appropriate level. We currently still have our growing group ministries. The men faithfully meet on Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month. I think we're still meeting again this Saturday. October 7th. Yes, coming up now. Yes, the following Saturday. And the women on Thursday. And that's going on. That's going great, hearing about the studies that are going on. The building up of the body of Christ here is just such a wonderful thing to watch. And we want to continue facilitating fellowship building events. You know, COVID threw a big wrench into our monthly fellowship luncheons. I'd love to seeing those coming back in slowly but surely. The cups and canvas Catherine's been throwing on. We'd like to do some sing and pray events. We did have some while back, you know, have some special ministry nights where it's just being praising God for all the wonderful things that he's done. Some service projects coming up where we're talking about how we can minister to those in our community within these four walls, without. But that's something that definitely needs to be vetted. If you have something that's weighing on your heart, the hands of Christ can be shown in a motherly way, bring it to the elder team. We'd love to discuss about that. I skipped over the family meetups where just not low commitment level, you know, every so often. I know they were meeting into the park this summer, and it was great to hear about just the wonderful turnout. More people than they were expecting. And part of this one really speaks to me because I used to be a part of this, cultivating the redemptive relationships that make much of Jesus Christ. So we meet here on Sunday. Yes, we imbibe the word. We sing and praise our Lord and Jesus Christ. But what Scott was making such a big mention, this is not a solo sport. You know, many of us come here early to build into those relationships, and we stay late to catch up with each other. If you're just popping right through at 10:30 and you're leaving as soon as the benediction's given, you're missing out on so much that God has in store for you. Church is meant to build into these relationships. We have our wonderful relationship with our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior. But to be built up and to be walking with someone in Christ's church and to know how we can be building into each other, living life together, that's the important thing. Making those relationships while you're here instead of just putting your butt in the seat. I'm glad you're hearing the word, but you're missing out on so much more. So to that point, every member ministry. And no one wants to be left behind. And if you want to make sure that, how do I want to say it? If you call yourself a member of Faith Bible Church, if you are ministering here, if you want to be, you know, it's like, how can God use me? What are we using our gifts as? So again, back to me. Very specific. We would love to see two people today, within the coming weeks, within the coming months, two people who can say, you know, one Sunday a month, it's okay. I can go sit with the kids. I can help out someone who's already in the current rotation to break up any kind of team that's right there now to keep that rotation flowing. Because right now, we got the same brothers and sisters who are going back there with the kids. And God bless them for that, but like they said, it is tiresome work staying on top of those kids for an hour, maybe hour and a half. Two people, we'd love to see that. Caregivers for the nursery. We're talking about the babies. We're talking about the little preschoolers back in the little nursery. You want to hold the baby? You want to sit with someone? You can stand a little bit of crying for a little bit? Two people. I would love to see two people be willing to step up into that rotation, at least if you can commit one Sunday a month. Volunteer for tech and media ministry. Sometimes, and I can't attest to it because I'm not here, Matthew and I aren't here. And I can only imagine how those Sundays go. But PowerPoint was, you know, it's not like it was in the early 90s. It's a lot more user-friendly. The soundboard's easy to turn on. We'd love to be able to show someone how to flip the switches and progress through the slides. One person who can assist one or two Sundays a month to be able to get into that rotation. And then someone to come in as a greeter. You know, we open the church doors. We're here usually 9:30. Someone wants to come in 9:50, 10 o'clock. You know, every other Sunday, Sue Thompson, who's not here with us today, does a great job. There's some Sundays she can't be here with us. But just to provide a friendly face, a smile, and a greeting to visitors who walk through our door and say, hey, we're not going to stand off. Like, if you come here to worship our Lord and Savior, you're welcome. You know, we don't turn away anyone who wants to come here and worship in spirit and truth. So that's what we want to. These are some of the asks. Two teachers, two people willing to come together and come in for the children's ministry. Two people who are willing to go into the ministry. One person who would be willing to volunteer for the media. And another person who can do some Sundays to greet people at the door. If any of those ring true to you, pray on it. Approach the elders. We'd love to talk to you about the opportunities we have here. So in that, I'd like to invite the worship team, Pastor Scott, back up as we sing our last song before we take communion together.